have two very special guests today, which I would like to introduce. I'm very pleased to introduce from Nigeria, Africa, Tara Fela Durutoye. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I love the way you pronounce my name so well. Superb.
She's CEO of the cosmetic and beauty company Tara House International. And from Vienna, Austria, welcome Emma Baumgartner, founder of a fashion company, and she does a lot of things. She has an agency and but we would like to concentrate on cosmetics and fashion. Time for Africa is your label.
Thank you.
Emma, tell us, how did you meet? Where did you meet? How come you know each other?
Shall I?
Yes, yes, yes.
Actually, it was at the Africa Day of the Austrian Chamber of Economics in 2017. Tara was delivering the keynote and I was fascinated. And I was thinking, I'm going to talk to her. I did it. And so the next day we had a breakfast before Tara was leaving for Salzburg on the traces of Sound of Music. And then I was traveling to Nigeria in 2020. And the first shop I was visiting was House of Tara. And I bought some products and I took a picture of the products that I bought and sent it to Tara. And this is when we met again. And yeah, we met several times since. And I feel as if we were friends.
And we have to mention that she imports cloth from Nigeria and also from other African countries.
Yes.
And all your fashion time for Africa is made of African cloth. That
yes.
means it's colorful. It's
vibrant.
Very vibrant. I have a dress
yes.
like this and it's still wonderful. When you came to Austria for the first time, what was your goal? I mean, you established in your country and on the African continent a very famous cosmetic industry company. Did you notice any, in regard to cosmetics, any differences between Europe and Africa?
Not really, except obviously complexions and shades are different and tones. But, you know, women all around the world want to be enhanced. We love to dress well. We love to have our hair done. We love to apply makeup, you know, and we love friendships. I think that's one of the things that's special about women, developing relationships. And so for me, meeting Emma here in, I think the audacity of just walking up to me and saying hello and wanting to meet up for me, I thought was interesting. I think I was a little surprised by that, but I was happy that that relationship has grown today. She's been to Nigeria a couple of times, and every time she's been, we've had a time to spend together. And so exciting to come back to Vienna and reconnect again here in her city.
You know, I can still remember she came back from Lagos and she said, I'm totally in love with this place. I mean, I have to go back very soon.
Yes.
She, of course, did.
Yes.
And I find this very interesting because African cities can be very, very vibrant.
Yes.
And people are laughing and there is music and life in the air,
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes.
When you come here, what do you think of us?
I think here is serene. I think it's quiet. I think people are not in a hurry. The hustle and bustling that I experience in Lagos and in African cities is far from what I experience here. But I think that the women are also very stylish, conservative, but with an edge. I love how they embrace culture, you know, and the history of the country, whether it's in the museums and the beautiful buildings and edifices that we can see every day. It's the love of the parks and the greenery. This morning we're just walking and you can see the children going off to the museums in queues, right? 3, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds with their hats. I thought that was really gorgeous. I love the fashion as well. I think that the conservativeness of European fashion with a tint of maybe a little Italian colorfulness or African colorfulness is what makes the Austrians a little different. So I really enjoy being here.
I mean, you're both business women. Mm-hmm. Let's talk business. How did you come to establish a very successful and pretty big company.
So I started as a makeup artist about 25 years ago. So this year will be 25 years of my company. I started as a bridal makeup artist, doing makeup for people who are getting married. The wedding industry in Nigeria is huge. It's a huge part of our culture. Getting married, we have multiple celebrations, from a traditional marriage to a court registry to a church wedding, and after parties, right? It's a huge part of, you know, our culture. And so having a makeup artist who's there to serve you, groom you on the day of the wedding, it also became a hit for me, and that's how my business was established. But as I grew the business, I found that people wanted to learn about the same skill, and they wanted to get involved in the wedding industry and the beauty industry. And I started a school. I started a makeup academy, training makeup artists who wanted to train young women who wanted to become makeup artists. And as we served, you know, upcoming makeup artists, there was another need. And the need was for the products that they would use to serve the customers. And that's how I created my first set of makeup brushes. And for makeup brushes, we launched it in an elaborate event. And as customers came, they kept asking, what about color cosmetics? What about lipstick? What about eyeshadows? And I thought to myself, there was a huge market for this. Unfortunately, there was no one meeting the needs of the consumers, because we only had international brands and brands that were designed for women of European or the American or Caucasian origins, and not enough for local Nigerian women. And this was my opportunity to then start a line. And it was a mega hit, because it also at a time where Nigerians wanted to use more pro-Nigeria products. And that's how the business established. Today, we have a retail business and have retail stores across the country in all the major cities in Nigeria. We have academies all across the country, training makeup artists and do a lot of work for governments and state governments. And then we also have a franchise, and we're franchising now in different continents, different countries within the continent of Africa. Yeah.
You set up the fashion business as a startup. I can still remember when I first saw your African colorful dresses, but you come from a very different kind of profession, don't you, Emma?
I'm a lawyer. Tara is also a lawyer.
Yeah, you're a very academic person. I mean, you are very academic people.
And to be honest, it was not fashion that was my aim. Fashion was a mean of transport to show my love for Africa, because I found it Time for Africa 12 years ago. And the picture of Africa that people have over here, they imagine a country that is dangerous, only wars and terrorism and whatever, but only negative ideas. So I decided I would like to show the beauty of Africa. And I was thinking, how could I do that? And then I remembered the cloth, the fabrics that I bought on my travel, on my journeys through Africa, and the beads that I bought and was collecting. So I decided, okay, fashion is the message to show the beauty of this wonderful continent that for me is the continent of the future. And we should realize that and be aware of that we should connect with Africa. So Time for Africa means kind of take your time for Africa. It is time for Africa, whatever you like to interpret it. I wanted to show it, and I hope I can do this even more.
I actually agree with you, because we've been to Africa many times, to various countries, and it has always been a great experience. Of course, there are problems everywhere in the
Absolutely.
World.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
There is poverty, and mm-hmm. there is hunger and whatever, mm-hmm. But the people... Really, I was always fascinated yeah. because they are bright, funny, musical, artistic, cheerful.
Yes.
Positive.
Yes.
And
positive.
It's a huge continent. I mean, Nigeria is very different from South Namibia.
Africa. Correct.
Or South Africa.
Or Kenya.
So, yeah. Or Kenya. It's a huge continent. Mm. So when you come to Europe, mm-hmm. how do you think these two continents could combine, or Nigeria and Austria? Is there a possibility that we could connect more? Mm.
We just had a conversation yesterday around how some of the businesses here, small businesses, are not well staffed because, you know, it's an aging population, right? And we're not seeing a lot of young people who are taking some of these jobs, and sometimes restaurants can close down simply because they're not enough people. Africa, on the other hand, has the median age of, I think, 21. And so there's so many young people, and there is a high unemployment rate in the continent, right? And if you bring that vibrantness and embrace more young people to come in legally immigration and set them up to support the current economy, I think that would make a huge difference. However, I think the world is such a beautiful place to explore, and we need to find ways to see how similar we are in terms of our history. I come from a part of the country in Nigeria that is in the Niger Delta, which is where you'd find oil, you know. And that part of the country is also a country that has embraced, it's a very strong matriarchal society. And it'll be interesting for Europeans to learn more about our culture, the same way I'm going to spend time in the museums tomorrow, and to explore, you know, Austrian culture as well. And I think that exchange gives us a better worldview. I think my children are very fortunate because they started to travel when they were very young. And so they embrace people of other cultures very easily because that's what they're exposed to. I didn't have that sort of exposure. Today, I'm exploring that in my 40s. And I was saying to Imai yesterday that every single moment that I'm here, I'm taking it all in and writing as much as I can about my experience. So there's so much that we can do together.
I totally agree. Nevertheless, migration, of course, is a big problem in Europe. Mm-hmm. Although I think most African people are much nearer to our mentality and our life mm-hmm. and orientation, look, attitude, etc., than, for instance, Asians. Mm-hmm. Asians have sometimes a very different outlook towards life. Mm-hmm. So I hope it will happen that we might get a little closer again.
Yes.
Nevertheless, we have this migration problem. Mm. You have a lot of migration within Africa, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. How do you handle this? I mean, do you employ people, women? You do all these courses for young women. We will talk about this a little later. How can we handle this in a positive way?
So it was interesting in 2017 when I was invited for the first time to Vienna as a keynote speaker by the Advantage, the Chamber of Economics, right? The idea behind my presentation when the concept was being shared with me was, how do I sell Nigeria to Austrians? So the room was full of entrepreneurs of Austrian origin who were here listening to a woman who had started a company and built. And the concept was, how do you sell Nigeria? How do you sell the continent? And therefore make it easy for and demystify the views of Austrians about the continent. And so that's what I did on stage, to share that. And I'm very happy with the sort of response that I got. I actually got a standing ovation after my speech, hoping that more Austrian entrepreneurs now didn't see Africa and Nigeria in particular from a narrow standpoint, but a wider view, because that's what I shared. I shared about my history, about how I started, how I've grown. Obviously, there are issues, but still, there's so much opportunities for exchange that can happen. And I'm happy that I'm seeing Advantage Austria doing so much work in Nigeria to continue to see that embracement. I think one of the areas is in fabrics, it's in fashion. Nigerian entrepreneurs come here to purchase Austrian fabrics that I'm not even sure Austrians wear, but they're almost designed for us, right? We have these Austrian lace, and it's part of the premium lace that we sell in Nigeria, and we use to in celebrations and at weddings and at funerals and things like that. So I'm happy to see that work. In terms of immigration within the continent, not as much as we could imagine, because the transportation and infrastructure isn't developed enough for people to migrate, right, properly from country to country within the continent. It's easier for us to fly to Austria than it is to go to Morocco. So I could, if I wanted to go to maybe Algeria, for example, I'd have to fly to maybe Istanbul or to Amsterdam and then return back to the continent, right? So it's easier for us to immigrate to Europe than it is within the continent. And I'm hoping that business owners will begin to develop infrastructure within the continent, make it easier for us to immigrate across.
I was with a group of bankers a couple of weeks ago, and I asked them, why don't people invest more into African businesses? And they said, because you need certain securities from a bank point of view, and they cannot guarantee this in Africa. How can this development improve?
First of all, it's governmental, right? We need to establish stronger democracies, right? And policies that are created to support. However, there are many international brands. I know France, for example, Nigeria became the second consumers of champagne, right? Because a French man took the risk to establish a distribution company distributing Moët & Chandon in Nigeria. And the capacity to take that risk is what makes you an entrepreneur, is your ability to look at the challenges and create opportunities within those challenges. And sometimes many Europeans are afraid to take that leap of faith and to learn about the market, get the right partnerships within those markets, to learn how to navigate the peculiarities of those countries. And those who have done it have benefited from it. We have Indian companies that have been in Nigeria for over 100 years, and they become multi-generational businesses because they've taken the risk and stayed committed to the race, to establish businesses. So I know that there are challenges, but I think that the entrepreneurs now need to show that they are truly entrepreneurs, and to show that you have to be committed and look for, yes, these are the loopholes, but what can we do to mitigate those risks, right? Because there are risks everywhere, but the peculiarity of the risk within the continent are different. And so as an entrepreneur, what you think about is a strategy around it. And I'm hoping that we see more of that in the coming years.
If I asked you to open up, or she asks you to open up a shop in Lagos or a business in Lagos, would you do that?
I think so, yeah.
In what kind of way would you establish it there?
I even thought about it already. how would I do it? Well, I can't offer a real plan how I would do it. But my feeling is telling me that it should be time for Africa fashion because it's different. It could be a new model. Maybe I buy clothes in Africa. I have it produced here in Austria in the Austrian perfection. Yeah, I don't say that Africa is not perfect when it comes to tailoring. I know where I can produce here, and I would re-export it to Africa. So it would remain what it is now. It is fashion made in Austria from African fabrics, and I would try to do it there.
I could even add to that. There's a huge expatriate community because many businesses have attracting expatriates to run them within the country, and sometimes they're not integrating within the commercial space. And you know, people like to see people that look like them. You know, yesterday I was in the store, and as I walked in, a lady of African origin immediately saw me and had a big smile on her face, like she knew me. Obviously, she didn't know me, but just simply because she was seeing a woman who's of African origin standing across the table from her, you could see her face light up. And so sometimes when you are from another country and you come into an African country, maybe you'll be better off serving that community as well because they feel more familiar with you. So I think that there is a market for that. If someone of Ima's pedigree would then come and establish in Nigeria.
I would like to talk a little bit about education, because you also have this Tara Beauty Entrepreneurship Academy, where you train women how to learn your trade, establish businesses. How important is your education? I mean, you are particularly well trained. You are an academic. You've studied in Lagos. You took part in various programs from Stanford to Harvard, etc. You speak various languages. What's the role of education in your country for women?
So just like weddings, education is a huge part of our culture as a people. There's a part of Nigeria that, you know, in the 60s and 70s, there was free education. And so parents were forced to let their children go to school, or that otherwise they got imprisoned. And that culture has grown through the years. So Nigerians have a historically very well educated. We had some of the best universities around the world, listed around the world as some of the top universities many, many years ago. I think about today in the US, Nigerians are probably the second most educated immigrants in the US with double degrees. We have a penchant for having first degrees and masters, and in many cases going ahead to do a PhD. So it's something that is part of our culture, education. And as such, if you meet a Nigerian who hasn't gone off to have a first degree, it's unusual, right? And even the poorest of the poor have one aspiration, and that's for their children to go off to college and graduate as a graduate. So even in business, Nigerians are always thirsty for education in any sort of field that they're in. So if you want to establish yourself as a successful entrepreneur, you must of necessity have an arm of your business that's also developing. And also, I mean, we are a developing country, so there's a need for entrepreneurs to look at social issues and see how their business can help with dealing with some of those social issues. So if there's unemployment, how do we as successful entrepreneurs invest time in helping young people to become more employable? And to do that is in training. And so that's why it's a part of our business. It's also a strong value for me. I love empowerment. I see myself as it's one of my gifts to empower other people. So when I do get the chance to teach, I always want to teach.
So do you come from a privileged family, like where university is normal? How did you end up in this?
So yes, I do come from privilege. My father went to University of Cambridge, studied history, came back to Nigeria and taught as a teacher in one of the prestigious secondary schools in Nigeria. I have a sister who's a writer, another who's a medical doctor. So I do come from a long line of very well-educated people. However, like I said earlier, it's a cultural thing in Nigeria to get a good education.
You have three sons.
Yes.
What do they do?
So my first...
And you have a husband, of course.
Yes, of course. But you know, with women, when you talk about their children, their life just lights up, right? So my first is 21. He's studying at the University of Kent, studying international business. And my second is at Bentley University in Boston. He's studying international business and finance. And my third is doing his A-levels. So he's looking to go on to university in January of next year to study psychology. So I'm pretty excited about their growth. Can't wait for them to graduate. I'm excited to think that by the time I'm 50, my three children will have all graduated. So,
do you think your two sons might come back?
Oh,
they will come back to Nigeria?
Yes, definitely. So my husband ran for office. He ran to be president of Nigeria in the 2019 election. And he ran because he's very passionate about developing Nigeria. And we've raised our children to see that they're going off to get a good education, to come back, to build the country. And so I doubt that any of my children will stay back anywhere else, but to come back home to develop Nigeria.
Sounds very good, because, I mean, these are the people who build up the country.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
You are among the 50 most powerful in Africa. You won various awards. What does that mean to you?
I think it means that the work that I've done has been recognized, and it gives me a desire to do more. And sometimes I wish I could just say that those things don't really matter to me. I don't really care about awards. I would lie, right? Because I think that there's signposts to say you're making progress. There's signposts to say pause and celebrate your growth and your accomplishments. And so I embrace them, and I'm happy that Forbes listed me as one of the you know, 50 most powerful women in the continent. I'm grateful for that. But it's also a sign that one must do more. So there's pressure. Yeah.
What do you do with this kind of pressure?
Sometimes the pressure can derail you, because it's not every time you're inspired to do more. And because of the pressure, sometimes negatively, you want to just do, as opposed to do in line with your purpose, your meaning, your raison d'être, right? In my case, there are other times that the pressure is good because it keeps you focused on your goals and your what inspires you. So those are the, you know, the flip sides. You know, you have the paradox of this feeling of positivity and sometimes a negative feeling of the pressure of accomplishments and the success.
How many awards do you have? Couple.
Not so many.
You they should.
I should apply for.
You know, we always say in Austria, you get an award and you get a huge medal because it doesn't cost that much. And the Republic and the state, they can honor you and it doesn't cost them a lot of things, but they award you and that it's an appreciation.
Yes, I had this at T-Mobile. I had the first prize. There was a competition in T-Mobile and I won the first prize because I invented something that was then very new, today not any longer, but it was an application on mobile phones.
I think it's these kind of awards are very important. How do you empower young women in your country, within your company, within your business?
One of them is the training. Training is very empowering. Sharing knowledge. Knowledge is something people can never take away. And so we, as a business, we have a strong culture of transferring knowledge, but also supporting many of the micro-entrepreneurs on their journey to entrepreneurship. And I stand as an inspiration to say, well, I started as a young undergraduate in university, and then I've grown my business to this level, and you can, because I did. And for me, I find that a lot of people find that very inspiring, but the hand-holding, but also the training as well.
Because there are a lot of very strong African women. Who is your idol, your model?
So there's a famous woman called Ibukun Awosheka, who is, she was the first female chairman of a bank in Nigeria. The oldest bank in Nigeria's first bank, and she was the very first, after 100 years, that they had a female chairman. She's an entrepreneur, an author, and a boardroom guru, because she sits on many boards of multinationals, right? But she started her business as a young woman as well, studied chemistry in a very prestigious university in Nigeria, mother of three sons as well, adult sons, and very happily married. So in a lot of ways, and very strong Christian. So a lot of ways she represents what I would like to be when I'm her age, or even more when I'm older. And so she is a role model to me.
Do you have any role models?
Yes, I have.
You do?
Yeah,
Because you are one of my role models, actually.
Well, this is... this I have to digest now.
Take it all in.
Women like Jane Goodall, for example. And I also worked with her. I did a campaign for a Jane Goodall Institute Austria with Time for Africa.
She is a real, very strong character.
Yes, yes.
I went to Lake Tanganyika and her Champagne project. Mm-hmm. She's amazing what she's doing.
How old is she?
89.
Almost 90.
Yeah, 89. She's English and she's a scientist that deals with chimpanzees.
Oh.
So the behavior of chimpanzees.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And she lives here in Austria?
She lives in the UK, and she's traveling all over the world because there are Jane Goodall Institutes all over the world.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She comes here very regularly, actually. Yes.
And she's an idol for me because she's just positive, and everything she does should contribute to peace on the world, in the world, and peace in societies. And yeah, I like it.
Tara, you are obviously a game changer in your country. Imma told us that people know you in the streets when you walk along. Yeah. Why are people like you important for Nigeria?
I think, first of all, everyone needs representation. Women need representation, number one. Number two, I think for a country that's still developing, it's important for the young, for a predominantly youthful population to also see young people who have built and established, so they can mirror and they can know that this is also possible for them. And I think that's what I represent, and many women like myself in Nigeria represent as well. So I'm very, very happy to sit in that seat and to inspire young people and to let them know it's possible.
You work a lot also on social media. You're very present there, your personal account. You have more than 300,000 followers only on your personal account, and you have numerous others. How does that promote your business? What does that mean to you?
I think in a lot of ways, social media gives us the opportunity to be closer to our audience. It's what they call the new media. But for established entrepreneurs, we have to learn how to embrace social media and all the different platforms. The young people are on those platforms, from TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. That's where they're present. And if you want to speak to them, you have to speak the language that they understand. And it's in pictures, it's in inspiration. How does it promote my business? It keeps me in the mind of the consumer, but also my product in the minds of consumer. We're very active as a business on social media, especially because we're a brand across the continent, and it's a continent that's full of young people. So without social media, then you can easily fall into oblivion, and I try to avoid.
I mean, you live in Lagos, mm-hmm. and this is of course a huge metropole city.
22 million people.
What's life like in less urban areas? Do they all have access to social media and technology like this?
Yes, because Nigeria is listed as one of the most in the continent, a country where the use of data is very high. One of the biggest telecom companies in the continent is in Nigeria, and it's Nigeria's largest market. Because we're young people, we also are embracing technology quite a bit. So in the rural areas, they may not have access to many of the things that the urban parts have, but one thing they have for sure is data. And so I'd have followers from other parts of Nigeria other than Lagos. I do have, obviously, my biggest followers from within Lagos. But in other parts of the country that are not as developed as Lagos, I still have followers. And I think it's their way of connecting with the city by being on social media. And that has played a huge role even in politics in Nigeria.
Do you use Imma social media like she does?
I use it, yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't have 300,000 followers.
Unfortunately.
But of course I use it. Time for Africa is very present on Instagram, for example. This is my favorite social media, to be honest. Yeah.
Imma told me about a very interesting place in Lagos called Gaia.
Okay.
Can you explain a little what it is and how it got established?
Okay. So Gaia Africa is a... it's a women's club, exclusive women's club for female executives who are founders and senior executives in corporations. It's created a platform for women to network. I think that historically we've always had clubs, men's clubs, where men can network, learn from each other, open opportunities for each other. But sometimes, because of how our lives are designed as women in Africa, we're very focused as mothers to raising our children. So we can't really do things the same way men do, right? And so the founder, Tung Candy Johnson, who was an ex-legal secretary for Total Energies, and on her retirement decided to create this sort of platform. She built a beautiful clubhouse that women can come to and feel comfortable and secure because they're, you know, this is representation. They're seeing women, right? Women of the same social class, the same women of the same exposure and education. And so they feel comfortable. They organize workshops on a weekly basis, training and developing. Yesterday we had a workshop on the origin of English. 2 weeks ago we had a conversation around women and sexuality and menopause. And it's just great to see the sort of content. And then once in a month, they have what they call the Gentleman's Day, where any woman can invite a partner, a spouse, who's a man, to do come to the clubhouse and socialize. And then there are an array of events. There's a nice restaurant that Emma and I have had lunch at before as well. And they have a travel club. So recently the women went off to Zimbabwe and Zambia and where the Victoria Falls. They also have a book club. So every Sunday they have a book that they read together and sort of review. They also have an investment club. So women can contribute together as a cooperative to invest in projects as well. I think it's a wonderful platform, and a lot of women are enjoying the ability to be able to network with one another. And it's not just for Nigerian women. We also have women who are from the expatriate community who live in Lagos and who are part of the club. So I think it's a wonderful concept.
Emma, why do you think we don't have something like this?
If I knew, I would tell you. I just envy. Yeah. Yes. What, this is such a beautiful platform. Tara took me there, and I just remember this amazing building and these amazing opportunities for women to connect, to exchange.
Is it expensive?
I guess not for the caliber of women who are part of it. So it's really designed for female executives and founders who can afford it. It's not too expensive. It's not cheap. So therefore, it can't attract everyone. But I think it's the pricing is fair. Yeah.
Do you believe in networking for your businesses?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be here if there was networking.
Right? For me, this is kind of key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Final question. Could you ever imagine to cooperate in your businesses, and when, in what kind of way, and what would it look like?
Do you want to share?
I think you do.
Okay. So I see an opportunity for, because Time Africa is basically saying, Time for Africa is saying, it is time for Africa. It's, I want to showcase Africa. I want to show Africa in all its glory. Fashion is just one channel and one expression. And she called it one message. I love that, right? Another message could be African beauty, right? And how could we collaborate? How do we have these exhibitions every Africa Day in Austria, where we maybe have a 1 week of exploring all things Africa, from fashion to writers to beauty to whatever, right, to our history. And at the end of the day, Ima's dream can be actualized, which is, let's help to demystify Africa, but at the same time I can do a good sale as well of my product and make some European euros as well. So I think that's an opportunity, and we look forward to announcing that to the public so that they can just enjoy 1 week with us.
Yeah. That sounds very exciting, Emma.
Yeah. It is.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you, Tara. Thank you, Emma, for this interesting talk. Great success. All the best to you. And may your business become a very great success. Thank you very much.
And thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.